true.
Item number two is adoption of a final redistricting plan based upon the 2010 census and tentative redistricting plan adopted by the county board and the ward plans adopted by all municipalities.
Okay. Supervisor Bukowski.
You know, I know that we have at least one amendment before us. I don't know if it's actually, if it's written up, but I would like to make the motion. Heard from Mr. Rodriguez. If there was something that was formal, I'd like to make that motion.
Formal? What is the motion to what?
For the Rodriguez plan. I know that we don't have it written in front of us.
We don't have that in front of us at the present moment. Do we have that in front of us? Do we have the plan in front of us?
No.
Not the hard copy. Well, we need, was it submitted to the chair? So do we have a file number in front of us? Everybody has a copy. Everybody's seen it. I mean, the other plans were submitted. Where? Just bring the plan here so we can put that, get it so it can be on the board. We will put that it will be recognized on the board floor. Give it to the clerk. There should be an amendment.
I just printed it off, just emailed it to everybody, so okay. I just happened to have it.
Okay.
All right, your motion is not recognized. Supervisor Dmitrievich, Roman West, and John Supervisor Wallstein, you have an amendment in front of us, Amendment 1.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this time, what you have before you in Amendment 1 is some, I would say, slight adjustments to a few districts that add to the Hispanic population of the 12th district and the 4th district that increases the likelihood of a Hispanic representative representing those districts as what you would like to see that would be outlined in the federal guidelines in the Voter Rights Act, that the candidate of a district's choosing has a likelihood of being elected. So I think this is a slight adjustment. It's a good adjustment, and I think it meets the needs of the Latino community in Milwaukee County. And also, I'd just like to say, just in general about this and the plan, that when you look at Milwaukee County, the Milwaukee County Board, I believe that we're the last local unit of government that actually is a clear reflection of the population of Milwaukee County. We have, you know, women, we have men, we have different generations. We have a very good cross-section of Milwaukee County, ethnicity, all of this together. Now, I would say you compare that to any one of the 19 municipalities that make up Milwaukee County. How many women are aldermen in the city of Milwaukee or any of the surrounding suburbs? How many are mayors? You know, let's look at the race issue. You know, and you know how many suburban communities actually have anyone who is of a minority race that is actually an alderman, let alone a mayor. And you look at Milwaukee County, whether you like them or not, the chairman of the county board is an African American. So, you know, you look throughout all of this redistricting plans, you're going to see that Milwaukee County from 2000, when I was on my first redistricting committee, where we created the first Hispanic district. And then in 2000, when we did the downsizing in 2003 that took effect in 2004, we not only secured that Hispanic district, but then we created an influence district. And then now here we are making the next step to having two majority Hispanic districts. The county board has always taken race and equality, at least as long as I've been on the board, very seriously, and we've made those attempts. And so I think these adjustments here in this strengthen that and reinforce the Milwaukee County Board's commitment to equality and fairness when it comes to having elections. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So as Romo West, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move approval of this amendment. Again, not to reiterate anything that Supervisor Wyshon has stated, but Supervisor Dmitrievich and I and Supervisor Wyshon have spent a considerable amount of time on this plan. It was due to the foresight of previous county boards that this amendment is in front of you. We were able to have a supermajority, and now we are able to have, with this amendment, two majority Latino districts. This amendment is being brought to you because that is the strong desire. When we voted on the first plan, I had talked to a great many people in the Latino community, constituency, as well as the business districts, and their concern was maintaining a supermajority. And then after some debate, they decided that it would be better for the Latino community to have two majority districts. I'm proud of this amendment. This amendment goes further than the City of Milwaukee's redistricting plan did in regards to Latino, and I would ask for the support of this committee to make this happen this afternoon.
We do have a motion. Supervisor Dmitrievich.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. As you can see, I am the sponsor of this amendment, joined by Supervisor Romo West and Supervisor John Wyshon. I just have a few quick words to share with the committee. Some of it you've heard and some of it is a little bit different. Especially Supervisor West and I took time to develop the solution after going into the community and interacting with our constituents, as well as working with the county board staff. It strengthens the Hispanic population in both District 4 and District 12 and creates two solid voting age majority districts on the county board. This is the strongest Latino plan introduced thus far in the redistricting process, and it's a plan that we believe is consistent with the U.S. Voter Rights Act. With the new adjustment in the voting age population, District 12 will have 65.9 or 66% in voting age, and District 4, my district, will be 50.6 or 51%. If you'd like to compare it to the other plan that I know Super Borkowski seemed to have tried to introduce earlier, then you're going to love this one. The voting age Hispanic population is about the same, and as I said, District 12 is more than 2 percentage points higher than the previous one, even though the motion was denied. And with these adjustments, the 4th district becomes a majority Hispanic voting age district, and not only that, there is no longer a white majority in the district I currently represent. Two Hispanic voting age majority districts are especially notable when you consider that together, these two districts contain approximately 24,000 more people than the two Hispanic majority districts on the City of Milwaukee Common Council. We thank the redistricting committee for hearing these adjustments and hope that you will support our case. We're hopeful as well that the full county board will embrace these small changes to increase Latino representation. Finally, we'd like to thank previous county boards, as Supervisor Wyshon mentioned, for drawing District 4, the area I currently have the honor to represent, and seeing the foresight in creating a Hispanic influence district. No other local government has been on the forefront to accommodate Hispanic population growth like the county has since 2004. Without this groundwork being laid, it would have been much more difficult to reach a solution than we did today. These actions are going to pay off for the Latino community in Milwaukee County as a whole, and I ask for your support today. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments or questions on Amendment 1? Supervisor Sanfilippo?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I, too, appreciate the fourth public hearing today on this matter. A couple points, though, that I'd like to bring up with regards to the amendment. We've heard testimony and talk about creating the second Hispanic district. And
I greatly appreciate the efforts to do that, and I think the committee should be commended. But I think the question really here is, by bumping up District 4 to 50.6%, are you really creating a true second Hispanic district? Mr. Juan Carlos earlier testified that in order for it to be a true Hispanic district, you need 65 to 70% voting age population. 50.6% is a far cry from that. So to start doing dances that we've created a second district, I mean, we really didn't. It's better than the 43% that was in the original plan, but I think I've shown in the past that you actually could get, if you were serious about making a second Hispanic district, you could get District 4 easily up to 57%, which I have done. The plan that the Hispanic for Leadership plan that was presented by Mr. Rodriguez is not my choice of plan, or I should say it's not my preference. My preference was 15 districts that I had presented to the committee, and then it was voted down by the board. But doing that, that 15-district plan, I had some very sound reasoning why I came up with that number, and I explained that to you. I won't go in it again. Another supervisor, Supervisor Jerzyk, had presented a 17-district proposal. She had sound reasoning for that. But we haven't seen any sound reasoning yet for district for 18 seats. And a couple of questions. Specifically, we never had gotten the answer to a question that was asked right from the beginning. And why is it that District 6 is the one that it was decided would be cut apart and disseminated, cutting Whitefish Bay in half? I mean, I think that's a question that really deserves to be answered. District 6 had 2,500 people population growth in the last 10 years. That's a 4.8% increase, yet the district is dissolved. District 5, on the other hand, which is one of the districts that I had proposed to dissolve in my plan, seen a 5,280-person decrease. That's an 11.2% decrease. So I guess common sense is, why wouldn't we eliminate, if we're going to eliminate just a single district, why wouldn't we eliminate a district that lost more than 10% population instead of eliminating a district that gained almost 5%? And I think that's a question that still needs to be answered to everybody, and especially the North Shore community who has concerns about that. The amendment that's being proposed doesn't really answer a lot of the concerns that we've heard raised by the community in the past. Mr. James Hall from the NAACP sent us all a letter prior to the last meeting, and he listed in there 4 points that they wanted to see addressed in a plan, and this amendment really does not answer those 4 points. Mr. Hall specifically requested that the African-American districts be capped at 66.7%, and this amendment doesn't address that concern. It ignores it. We still have two districts that are over that. Mr. Hall's letter also talks about a concern for the dilution of the African-American vote. The amendment ignores that, and it doesn't address the situation. In fact, if you take a look at District Number 1, for example, in 2004, District 1 had 32,000 African-American people in it, and in 2010, it has 17,000. It was reduced by 15,000 people, or 46.4%. What that's doing is packing African-Americans into other districts, diluting their vote. So the amendment doesn't address a lot of the issues that were brought up by the NAACP. The amendment doesn't address any of the issues brought up by the ICC as far as not being consulted, the various mayors and village presidents having not been consulted. So that was ignored as well. And the Hispanic community, again, while this is an improvement, there still is room for much more improvement. You've seen, for example, in District Number 4, District Number 4 from 2004 to 2010 had a 70% increase in Hispanic population. It went from 18,265 to 31,300, a 70% increase. Yet we're actually proposing to reduce the Hispanic population voting as it would stand right now from 51.2% down to 50.6. So again, things that are being presented in the plan and now in the amendment, there just seems to be no logic, and I think that we need to see or hear some examples or some answers as to why specifically this is the best plan. Why should we reduce the Hispanic voting age population in District 4 when they had a 70% increase in Hispanic population? Why should we get rid of District 6 and cut Whitefish Bay into two different districts when they had an increase of 4.8% population? Why should we keep District 5 when it had an 11% decrease in population? I mean, these are answers that I think before a plan can be approved, we should get the answers to those questions so that we can understand that. And I just think that the amendment today really fails to take into account the questions that the community has with this plan. And if this plan has gone through and voted on and adopted today and goes to the board, it's just going to continue this cloud of suspicion over this whole process.
Thank you. Anyone would like to address any of the comments? Supervisor Washon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I think it's hard to take, I guess, some of these accusations or some of these points seriously.
Supervisor.
Due to the fact that other supervisors have put forward plans that would reduce the county board to a point where it would be difficult to create the minority representation that is in this plan, the 18-member plan that we have before us. And that, you know, when I look at, you know, some of the questions that have been brought up about how certain districts weave through to make something happen or encircle one area and things like that, this other plan that's been mentioned by the ICC and Rodriguez plan, they do absolutely none of reducing that. In fact, they do exactly the same thing. When you look at this, and I think the problem is that people like some of the supervisors who presented here is that, one, they have a misconception about what redistricting is and what the purpose is, and the task in front of us. The fact is, first, is population. It's about creating equally represented districts on size of population. Then the next layer is how you deal with how to make sure that minority populations have an equal chance of having their representative elected. Then on top of that, the third layer is communities of interest. And that, to points, are, you know, in some cases, where a supervisor lives. The fact is, I've noticed that, you know, we are not talking about adding Hales Corners, a community that has far more in common with places like Greendale and Greenfield, and making that part of a district instead of hooking it up with Franklin. And we didn't do that because you have a supervisor who lives in Franklin. Now, if Supervisor Sanfilippo wants to be in the same district as Supervisor Cesar's, you know, you can put forward that plan. But the fact is, I didn't see that in your plan. And so Mr. Chairman, is what this committee did is we put that layered cake together. And then the fourth layer is very simple. It's how you get a plan that the majority of the Milwaukee County Board will vote on. And it is the art of compromise. There are things that, yes, I could draw a map that could give you different levels of percentages. But the fact is, how many people are going to vote on those plans because of other interests in those different layers that are of interest? Just recently at when it was the city of Milwaukee, an area part where I represent is also part of the area where Alderman Bob Donovan represented. His issue, honestly, I don't think was about minority representation, and it wasn't. And I know even though he got a bad rap for it, the fact is his church was in that area, he grew up in that area, and his parents still lived in that area. And that's why he wanted that area in his district. So, you know, there are other things like that. And believe me, I find it interesting some of these comments by supervisors who claim that they're in the best interest of different minority groups and things like that, when you get them in, you know, privately, they'll say, okay, where you want to move the line? It's, oh, we can't move that. We can't cut that municipality. I don't want that person in my district. And I think it is very just disingenuous for people to come here today and demand why we didn't make a district 60-some percent versus 55% or 51% versus 55% and all these different percentages. So it, just one last point is that I think a lot of this, too, about race that, you know, when you really look at the history, the recent history, race is playing less and less of an issue in politics in Milwaukee County. And it seems like some of these groups that want it, they want to bring it back. They want to polarize it. They want to discount the fact of, you know, who people are married to, who they, you know, who they choose to spend their life with, the area that, you know, people represent. The one Hispanic alderman in the city of Milwaukee doesn't even represent the Latino area. So, you know, I just see more and more as my generation and younger, the lines of racism and things like that are getting blurred and blurred more often. I have many Hispanic friends from my time in the Marine Corps and my time here in Milwaukee, and you'll go back and you'll find out that it's a third to 50% of all Hispanics marry somebody of non-Hispanic origin. And one of the problems that we have when we want to try and create a Latino district is that it's not concentrated enough. There's not enough segregation. And in fact, we would have, if Milwaukee wasn't such a racist, polarized area when it comes to African Americans, it would be even more difficult for us to create the 6 African American districts to meet the 65% threshold. Yep. And it's only because of things like that. So I just think that there is way too much emphasis on some of these groups because their own thing is they want some power. They want to walk in here and claim that they represent a group. Also, I know the only people who truly, truly represent in a nonpartisan fashion in this redistricting process for Milwaukee County is Milwaukee County Supervisor. We're spring nonpartisan elected. I've been selected by my community to represent them in this area and to make the best judgments for them, whether it be on redistricting or anything else. None of these other groups have ever been on the ballot or have anything close to that to say that they have some validation or legitimacy to come before us and claim that they represent anybody. I see a bunch of business owners who come together for whatever reason, whatever their special interest, and believe me, 9 out of 10 times, it is not about the interest of the general citizen. So I think we have a good plan. I think we've made some adjustments that make it even better. And I would hope that we would support it not only today, but on Thursday.
If I may respond, Mr. Chairman. Absolutely. I think that to make the comment that it's okay to ignore the concerns that were professed by groups such as Hispanics, the Hispanics for Leadership, or the NAACP, just because they were not elected to public office, that doesn't mean they still don't represent their organizations and constituencies. I mean, they have every right to come here and advocate for their positions. And I think that some of the things that the supervisor brought up actually bode could be used to argue against the current plan. For example, he says that when it comes to redistricting, we have to talk about keeping communities of interest together. Well, Whitefish Bay is being dissected, so we're clearly not doing it with this plan. As far as the population and equal representation, in my 15 district plan, I had a much closer gap in population among all 15 districts than there are in this 18 district plan. I had a variation of just a few hundred people in most places, whereas the current 18 district plan has a variation of a couple thousand, you know, from high to low. So a lot of the points that he made could be used to argue against the plan. The fact of the matter is the entire community, the entire county has raised concerns over this plan and their legitimate concerns. The amendment that's offered today moves in the proper direction, but it still is not taking into consideration everybody's views. and we can either proceed down the path to say, what does the community know? We know better than them because we've been elected and they haven't, so we're going to go ahead and put our plan through. Or we can actually take the time to look at this thing and do it a little bit more, redo it and look at it. There are other ways. It's been proven. The plan, the Hispanic for Leadership, meets the requirement that the NAACP had asked for as far as capping at 66% or 66.9, I think. So there are ways. The 18-seat plan that I put together, more or less just for fun, I didn't put it together for this to propose to the committee, but I put it together to prove that it could be done. I was able to get to 57% Hispanic representation in District 4 and keeping 63% in District 12. So, I mean, if we really want to take all the factors and considerations to heart that are being raised by this community, it can be done. And again, I guess I would just ask the question because it wasn't answered, and perhaps the drafter of the plan can answer it. Why is it that this particular plan is deemed to be the best one for the county? Why are we eliminating District 6, dissecting Whitefish Bay when they had a 5% population growth and keeping District 5 intact or still alive when it had an 11% population decrease? I laid out in my plan why I was going to eliminate District 5. But we have not heard why we should eliminate District 6. And I think that we are owed that explanation as to why this plan and this amendment is the absolute best. We haven't gotten that answer yet. Can the drafter of the plan comment?
We will have that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you, Mr. Chairman. While it's been my district, the one that I currently represent, District 4, that has been talked about at meeting after meeting after meeting, I've actually sat quite quietly. But I can no longer do that, and I am not going to sit here any longer and be schooled by people who have taken vote after vote and budget after budget that has hurt the minority communities in Milwaukee County. The very people who cut transit funding, cut mental health services, things that Supervisor West and us and the African Americans vote for, I can't. It's so disingenuous, and I can't take it anymore, Mr. Chairman. And I'm not going to do it. This. Hear me now. That this. I'm no longer going to sit here and hear that the NAACP and the Hispanics for Leadership speak for the whole minority community and are against our plans. No. If you look back at the facts, the Hispanic for Leadership plan, ours is better when it comes back to Latinos. Go to the facts. Don't sit here and say, oh, the entire Milwaukee County. I've been at every public hearing. Does this look like the entire Milwaukee County? Was the entire Milwaukee County in River Hills? No, because the buses didn't go out to River Hills. Okay? So I'm sick of it. I'm not going to sit here anymore and listen to the NAACP and Hispanic for Leadership being misused and abused as a mask for someone's personal agenda. Yeah, and I said that. Okay? This amendment deals with the Latino population that Supervisor West and I are elected to make sure has the proper representation. It's better than the plan that wasn't even introduced. Okay? And I ask for your support on this because it's the right way to move forward.
Thank you. Mr. Bowman, can you give us a definition? Ask any of the questions about why did we go to 18 supervisor districts and why are districts 6 and 5 totally different?
The principal reason why I recommended 18 is there was a growth in population in the south side and a reduction in the population on the north side. But the growth on the south side was only one half of one district, and the loss of population was only one half of one district. So if you would have eliminated two districts, you still would have had a substantial change of all the districts, because there still would have been too many people on the north side unless you eliminated two districts on the north side. And there were planned. Supervisor Jurczyk submitted a plan to eliminate two districts on the north side. That plan was defeated. And so it would make no sense to keep 19 and eliminate one north side and create a new south side district because that would have caused a substantial amount of changes of all the boundaries, not just the one new district. That new district on the south side would have had to get population from each of the south side districts. So the question was, do you go to 18 or do you go to 17 or 19? That wasn't the only question, but those were the three that I looked at first. And I felt that 18 was a reasonable number. How they were drawn after the decision was made for 18 was a separate question. And each district was drawn based on various considerations, including their current boundaries. The plan that's before you does have two North Shore districts. One has most of Whitefish Bay and Shorewood, and the other has the other north side districts, with the exception of three wards of Whitefish Bay. Those were only deleted and added to the 13th because it needed it to get to its minimum number. There were political considerations about current boundaries. And with 18 districts, it was able to draw a plan that kept the current boundaries as close as possible. And if I'm accused of that, I plead guilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's how we arrived at 18. Whether we agree or we don't, there is an answer. But why was it decided that District 6 was the one to go when it had a population increase? I mean, why not get rid of District 17? Why not get rid of 9, 8? I mean, any one of the other ones. There were several districts that had population decreases, not as big as District 5, but there were other districts with decreases. There were other districts that stayed the same. I mean, why? Somebody had to come up with the reason, okay, let's chop off 6. Let's split Whitefish Bay in half. I mean, we have a community up there that are up in arms and concerned that their community is being dissected into two different districts. And that was a major theme. And I, too, have been at most of these public hearings, or all of the public hearings, and that was the biggest turnout of any of them in the community that's being most affected by this plan. And the question that we heard at that public hearing, again, is, well, why is this being presented? Why is it being presented? We haven't heard that answer yet. Why was it that 6? I mean, why wouldn't we, in any other decision that you make, you're going to, for example, if a restaurant chain decides they got to close a store, they don't close the one that's doing the best in sales or has sales growth. They close the one that's declining sales. Why are we getting rid of the district with 4.8, almost 5% growth, and keeping a district with 11% decrease in population?
That's a decision for the elected officials, not myself.
Well, did you just throw a dart at a dartboard and say, boom, 6 is gone? And I mean, somebody somewhere along the line made a decision that 6 is the district that's going to be cut. And so I just want to know why. What is the logical reason for 6?
Mr. Bowman.
I have nothing further to add. I think that was a decision.
Okay. Be quiet, please.
Okay.
We will figure out this and go back and try to put this, if there's a decision, to whoever, when you in brief session and Martin Weddle, you had to come up with the decision, how did 6 came about. This is not a court of law. We will all have to vote on this decision, and that's it, because I would like to make sure that we have this stuff properly in front of us. Anything else about the Senator?
No, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for your patience in listening to me and allowing me to speak. I do appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else have any questions on this amendment? Supervisor Rice? Young man, you want to have a comment? Please fill out a card.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was compelled to come to speak. I wasn't planning on it, but I think some of the comments that have been made most recently require a response or a comment. This is likely to be the last opportunity for public comment on the plan before it goes to the board. And unfortunately, I think that the committee and when it gets to the board will have lost an opportunity. an opportunity, I think, to really engage in a real dialogue, a dialogue with the community over what these districts are going to look like for the next 10 years. I know, Mr. Chairman, you believe that you've done a good job of holding these public hearings and reaching out. I will only tell you that the one meeting in my community in Whitefish Bay on the subject of redistricting had over twice the attendance of all the attendees of all of the meetings of this committee, and I've attended all of them. There is a great deal of interest that's been expressed by many in this community, and I fear that this committee has not listened, that it's been a lost opportunity in that the committee has really failed to address, number one, the call from the community for a downsizing of the county board beyond one seat. There hasn't been a serious consideration of that by this committee. I think it's also been a lost opportunity in that the committee really has not adequately listened to the many people who have tried to communicate, including local government. Local government in the face of the ICC that represents all of the 19 communities that we also represent, local governments who took it upon themselves to adopt separate resolutions to express their opposition to the plan that this committee had tentatively proposed. It's been a one-way communication. There has not been an effort to engage in a dialogue. And I think that's sad for the committee, but it's sadder for the community, because it really does speak about the frustration that people feel when they deal with Milwaukee County government, that they are not being heard. And I think this process, a once-in-a-decade process, could have been an opportunity to do that, to change that, Mr. Chairman. And I think that the city of Milwaukee made some strides in that direction and really did try to reach out, and they got plaudits for it, the way they did make the process accessible and open and a dialogue and one that people felt that they really could participate in. The constituents that I'm privileged to represent don't feel this has been a fair process. They don't feel that this has been a reasonable process, Mr. Chairman. They feel disrespected. They've come, they've testified, they've written letters, they've sent emails to the county board members, to the county executive, and the silence and response has been deafening. Just as the absence of response to the reasonable question that Supervisor Sanfilippo asked about why is the 6th district singled out for disparate treatment. It's not about population, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Let's be honest, it's about politics. Member of the committee who spoke before spoke on the county board. He said, folks, this is blood sport. That's what this is about. We do this because we can. And we're all, I think, as a board, as a committee, as a community, less better off because of that attitude. I don't expect that I'm going to get a reasonable answer that I can take back to my community to tell them why the northern suburbs are being split the way they are. What can I say? Well, it's politics. Boys will be boys. That's the way the game is played. Mr. Chairman, I think, again, this was an opportunity for the county board to have greater respect from the community, to go forward, to use this as an opportunity to engage in a real dialogue. I'm sad that it hasn't been worked out that way. I wish that that there could be some discussions. I'll be glad to entertain any discussions with anyone going forward. That hasn't been the case, unfortunately, up to this point. My district, the one that I've been privileged to represent, is singled out for disparate treatment. The true motivation behind this plan, I think, as noted by Supervisor Dmitrievich, who spoke earlier, was pretty clear, in which she said that she was tired of having people speak on redistricting, despite the fact that vote after vote and budget after budget, they singled out certain populations for positions that she disagreed with. That made it clear to me that this is about politics, Mr. Chairman. It's not about population. And when you're dealing with something that's going to last for 10 years, maybe it's too idealistic of me, but I would hope that we could have stepped back from that, that we could have dropped a little bit of that political baggage at the door. We could have looked at this a little less without that political prism in mind, and done this in the interest of all citizens of Milwaukee County. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Rice. Anyone else have to speak? Supervisor Johnson, you want to give me your card, too?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I have to say something because I know that I attempted through an amendment to have to extend the public hearing.
Thank you.
So that the NAACP and the ACLU could come forward with plans. And we've had two, if not three meetings since then, and I have not seen any plans. At least I tried to extend the opportunity so that that could happen. I have not been part of any effort to exclude anybody I've looked for openness, and it just seems because people didn't come forward, they did not come forward with plans, they did not come forward with maps, it looks as if the redistricting committee, besides the plan that Mr. Rodriguez and his group had, it just appears as if the county district redistricting committee is going in a direction of doing what it wants to do without, on the other side, somebody coming forth and being adamant with respect to providing plans or maps or vision to us. Supervisor Rice is involved in a lawsuit, and that may be one reason why he has not presented a plan to us or a set of plans. But he has spoken eloquently. He's gotten his point of view across along with Supervisor Sanfilippo, although there may be some disagreements with respect to philosophy as to how maps have been proposed to us. I'm a little bit dismayed because, again, there was an opportunity for these plans to come forward. We've had these public hearings. We've had more public hearings that were originally scheduled so that some of those issues could be addressed, and I'm disappointed that people did not come forward. So that's what I have to say, given that I had offered amendments on the board floor to go forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Nathaniel Holter.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you for allowing me to speak here. I'll once again try and keep my comments brief. I just wanted to make a couple of remarks because the name of the NAACP has been brought up a handful of times today, and I just wanted to clarify where we're at. Last week we issued a statement written by President James Hall that was a neutral statement. It asked for 18 seats, two Hispanic voting age majorities, and six black voting age majorities. That were capped at 66.7% voting age. Over the weekend, the NAACP Executive Committee met, and we discussed the issue, and we decided to drop the 66.7% requirement, meaning that our requirements at this time are 18 seats, two Hispanic voting age majority districts, and six black voting age majority districts. There have been multiple plans out here, including Amendment 1, that meet our requirements, what we were looking to get out of the process. And so we've remained neutral on which plan is going forth and all that. And I wanted that to be very clear because other folks have tried to use our name to essentially attach us to the other effort, and we've tried to stay for that. And I want that to be very clear. On the issue of race and bringing up race and all these sorts of things, I'm biracial. And, you know, I've written a lot about Milwaukee segregation as something that is an issue that's near and dear to my heart. I wish that Milwaukee was colorblind. I wish that an organization like the NAACP was not necessary. It is, unfortunately, and I think that most people would agree with that. I would also just point out in terms of race playing a role in redistricting, it's in the Voting Rights Act. You know, I don't really know what was going on in various parts of that statement, but I just wanted to point that out. And if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to hear them because I want the NAACP's position to be clear to everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Emil, Supervisor Washon.
Just one last comment for me, and that is just on the issue, I guess, of race.
I think if you look back from 2000, at least as long as I've been on the county board, in fact, some of our critics have seen that the efforts that we made, not only through different policies and through redistricting over the years, is that they've claimed that we've tried to empower the minority community too much. And I think that, you know, when people really dig through this and they want to drill down to see what the real, you know, gripe is, you know, I find it amazing that nobody has a problem that West Dallas is cut into three pieces, or Greenfield, or Franklin. We have the mayor of Franklin right here. And nobody said that, you know, nobody's come up and said we need to be in one district, even though that would be a much easier task for us to complete today. But because we want to take three wards out of the city of Whitefish Bay, oh my God, it is like the world has come to an end to the North Shore. Even though 90% of the North Shore district is still intact. We're supposed to believe that 124th and Brown Deer Road has more in common with Whitefish Bay than the Village of Shorewood. And I just think that, you know, that's what this really comes down to, is I think, you know, a bit of hysteria on some of this stuff, and the critics coming back, saying that, you know what, once again, we, you know, what are you going to choose? Well, how come you didn't choose the predominantly 97% white North Shore district to keep that from being, you know, a ward taken out of? Why didn't you attack, you know, the fifth district, which is 80% African American? You know what, maybe we thought, you know, that wasn't in the best interest of the citizens of the city of Milwaukee and the interest of the citizens of Milwaukee County. And that maybe it was time for, you know, Whitefish Bay to take one for the team. So I think when you look at the map, honestly, that when you look at way things were drawn in the past, that we have made improvements, that every redistricting plan from 2000 that I've been involved with, whether you like where the things move about, that it has been a better plan that has empowered the minority community of Milwaukee County more and more every year. And yes, there are some people who have a problem with that, whether they live within the city limits or within the suburban community. So, you know, this idea that you're not going to get representation on the North Shore because you may have more than one supervisor just doesn't hold up, because I've represented the city of Greenfield, where I only have a couple wards, and I've represented them as if I represented the entire city. And it's the same thing with West Dallas, and the same thing with my wards in the city of Milwaukee. So, you know, this argument that they can't be split up and somehow it's detrimental to their community isn't. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I think we're ready now.
We have a motion on the floor. We have one more. Come on. Vince Knox, just sit down.
Sure,
sit down. Please, thank you.
We'll talk about the name.
You got to come on.
All right.
The other floor, sir.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I've looked at the map, and I haven't had too much time to study and analyze, but I do want to take exception to what the previous supervisor had said, Supervisor Johnson, and because if I'm not mistaken,
talk to me, Mr.
If I'm not mistaken, Mr. Chairman, I've submitted at least two redistricting maps that had equal population, represented the Voting Rights Act, and was compact and contiguous. I don't think I emailed it to all the supervisors, but I know I emailed a couple of copies to you, Mr. Chairman, Supervisor Rice. I believe you got a copy. And maybe Supervisor West and Supervisor Johnson, if necessary, when I get home, I'll submit the two redistricting plans again. And in those plans, I also sought to maintain community of interest, which included the North Shore areas, to keep the districts as compact as possible, and at the same time to avoid fracturing the Latino community and to avoid packing the African-American community. So, you know, before you make the decision, I think any organization or anyone who has submitted alternative plans to you, you should look them over and see if you can incorporate the best of all the plans that you have available. And take as many suggestions as possible, whether officially at hearings or by email or phone calls or citizens just visiting your office. With that, I would ask you, please don't split the fifth supervisory district. I do have a problem with the fifth and the ninth and the fourth and to a certain degree the 10th and the 13th. If you do redraw those districts and you want to make the population as equal as possible, could you make the districts a little bit more compact, please? Thank you.
Okay. Do we have anyone else who would like to speak on the amendment? Mayor Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I feel compelled not as the not to be the chairman of the ICC, but as the mayor of Franklin. This is about the third or fourth time that Supervisor Weishin has taken issue with the city of Franklin. Recently, I came in here on behalf of the city for a very simple easement request that somehow got muddied, a request that should have taken no more than a few minutes to approve, and it didn't. Supervisor Weishin led that charge. It's very apparent to me that he has some sort of prejudice against the city of Franklin. Now, it's true that there are a lot of Republicans that live in the in Franklin. I'm one of them. But this constant attack of our city, I'm not going to stand for. So I would really appreciate, Mr. Chairman, that when you have committee members that are taking shots at a city size that has 35,000, that some control be placed on these committee members. It is very, very apparent that County Supervisor Weishin has some sort of vendetta with our city.
Okay, Mayor Taylor, thank you very much. And we are not going to get a response for that right now. No, thank you very much. Okay, on the amendment, do anyone else have any comments or questions? On the amendment. Thank you. Is anybody walking in? Okay, thank you very much. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll on the amendment?
Roderick?
Aye.
Borkowski?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Weishaupt?
Aye.
Roma West?
Aye.
Thomas?
Excuse.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
Five ayes, one no.
It's the pleasure of the committee. Any other amendments in front of us, please? Madam Clerk? Madam Clerk?
Mr. Chairman?
Just a second, please. Is there any other amendments in front
no,
of us?
No, I have no other amendments before me.
Supervisor Romo West?
I would like to move approval as amended.
We have a motion as approval as amended. Anyone have any comments or questions? No comments? If not, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Roderick?
Aye.
Borkowski?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Weishaupt?
Aye.
Roma West?
Aye.
Thomas?
Excuse.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
Five ayes, one no. It is approved as amended.
Do we have anything else in front of us?
No.
Meeting adjourned.